Let's go ahead and get started. Commissioner Trahan, would you raise your hand?
Dear Lord, we thank you for the guidance you give us. We celebrate this season of Christ, and we thank you for all the blessings that you've given us. We ask that you continue to guide this court. We have two new members that we're looking forward to working with, and we hope that we all work together to make this county the best it can be. We ask that you continue to guide us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Pledge of allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Honor the Texas flag.
I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible.
In any event, we do have two new members of the court here today, and as a result, there will be a slight change to the agenda. Number five is going to be our first order of business, even before comments, so that we can make sure that we do this in the proper order. So, moving to that, discussion and possible action to approve the bonds for the following elected officials: County Judge Dean T. Crooks, County Commissioner Precinct 2 Teresa Adams Beecham, County Commissioner Precinct 4 Robert Viator, County Court at Law Judge Mandy White Rogers, County Clerk Brandy Robertson, District Clerk Vicki Edgerly, Justice of the Peace Precinct Number 1 Herschel Stagner Jr., Justice of the Peace Precinct 2 Chad Jenkins, Justice of the Peace Precinct 3 Joy Dubose Simonton, and Justice of the Peace Precinct 4 Rodney Price. Also, our County Treasurer Christy Curry, who was accidentally left off that list, will be on there as well. Sorry, Christy. You should have come to the deal yesterday. There will be one other change. There will be one other change. There is, would you like to come explain an issue with just one of the bonds we may have to put off?
We'll have to put off the bond for Justice of the Peace Precinct 2 Chad Jenkins, who wasn't aware of the bond procedure. I did speak to him earlier this week. So he's in the process of getting that taken care of. And then we'll just add him, I guess, to next week if we have it in time.
As a procedural issue and in order to make sure that commissioners and myself are not required to vote on an issue that directly pertains to them, give them the opportunity to abstain, we will handle the County Judge, County Commissioner Precinct 2, and County Commissioner Precinct 4 separately. And as soon as we get done with that, then we can take the others, adding the treasurer and omitting Justice of the Peace Precinct 2, Chad Jenkins, till we get that paperwork squared away, and take them as a group. Is there any problem with that legally?
I think that's the way to do it.
Okie doke. So, right. Agenda item number five.
All right. Well, I make a motion that we approve the bond for County Judge Dean T. Crooks.
I'll second.
Actually, we probably need to hold off on action until we do your bonds.
Okay, you're correct.
So,
so that would be three and
one.
Denise, we do have a quorum. However, the entire quorum is not required to vote. So would a vote of two be acceptable to pass the bond measure? Or do I need to go ahead since I was already judged?
Yeah, I think you're fine.
Oh, yeah.
Just checking with you before we do something,
yes.
and I see your eyes get real big.
The three
of you. Okay, thank you.
That was a question.
Okay. Motion by three, second by one. One.
Aye.
Two. Three. Judge. Aye.
Aye.
Three.
Aye.
Sorry, to have it.
Aye.
Abstain.
Three. And two abstain. Okay, same issue, agenda item five, County Commissioner, Precinct 2, Teresa Adams Beecham.
So moved.
One.
Abstain.
Second.
Two.
I'll have to second.
Right. You second me?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
That's okay.
Motion from one, seconded by three. One?
A.
Abstain.
Judge, aye. Three?
Aye. Abstain.
Three. Again, same issue. County Commissioner, Precinct number four, Robert Viator.
I make a motion we approve Precinct number four, Robert Viator.
Second to it.
Three and one. One?
A.
Two?
Abstain.
Judge, aye. Three?
Aye.
Oh, I can
abstain.
Vote.
Four?
That's
true. Then
you I vote.
Four, oh, one, and four
yes.
Abstain.
Four and one abstain. Okay, I'm glad we got all that confusion out of the way.
It was.
Now we have a little bit more confusion. I apologize. I thought we had Judge Rogers with us here today. Did she talk to you about the bond? Okay. I think we'll just proceed with it as is, and it can be amended later if necessary.
I can text her and you can approve everybody else's
okay.
From the first till the end, and I'll see if she responds to my text.
Okay. For the record, while she does that, the question has come up, and there seems to be a discussion about this. Certain judges hear cases that involve large amounts of money. When it comes to somebody's estate and probate, this is definitely one of those examples. One of the concerns that we've had is the bond amount enough for those judges? Judge Rogers is one of those judges. I thought she was going to be here today. She may have gotten hung up. I think I know what.
If she thought it was fit, she may have thought she had some time.
So in any event, we can go ahead and move forward with it. Because unless I'm terribly mistaken, we can always increase a bond. So I think we'll just go ahead and move forward with it.
I move to go ahead and approve all of them with the exception of Chad Jenkins.
And the addition?
And the addition of Christy Corey.
And addition of Christy Corey. Sorry, Christy.
Second then.
Okay. Three and one. One.
A.
Two.
Aye.
Judge, aye. Three.
Aye.
Four.
Aye.
All right. And you think Judge Jenkins will be taken care of by next week?
I hope so. I'm not sure how long the process is.
Will you please contact him, make sure somebody gets it to us so that we put it on the agenda? I don't want to forget about it. Thanks. All right. Number one, we'll move back to our original agenda items. Open up court sessions for comments from court and citizens on items which may or may not need to be placed on the following week's agenda for consideration. Each person addressing the court may be limited to 3 minutes. First and foremost, I'd like to welcome the two official new commissioners as of about 4 minutes ago.
You got it. Thank you.
Happy New Year.
Congratulations on the two new commissioners. Glad that you're on board and welcome. I have an announcement. Orange County Disaster Rebuild will be hosting a Harvey outreach event, which will be this Saturday. And what we're doing is gathering the Homeowners Assistance Program. Caseworkers will be there to assist individuals. Right now, they're open on our satellite office Tuesday through Thursday. It's still open, but we wanted to add a Saturday just so those individuals that can't make it to Beaumont for whatever reason, they will have it here on locally at the Expo Center. It's going to be from 10 to 4, but we also are going to have disaster case managers from different disaster case agencies, which we're going to have approximately 25 caseworkers there that will actually be doing intake. And also, if you have questions to a caseworker about your case, they will be there to answer, along with Red Cross. Some people, I'm sure you're most of aware that if you had 17,000 plus FEMA verified loss, that you're eligible for $2,000 direct assistance from Red Cross. They've also now added 4,500, which is called Complex. So that is another way, but in order to get the 45, you have to go through a disaster case manager. You can't just direct assistance was
Red Cross was sending out texts, emails, or you can do it through a disaster case manager as well, but the 45 will only be through disaster case managers. So Red Cross will be there as well with case managers to help those disaster case managers or individuals on the reason why or why not they didn't get approved, or help them with the process. Sometimes it's just a getting a piece of documentation, whatever the case is, through the caseworker. So that's going to help an individual not be so frustrated, a survivor. So they're going to be there. Also, we have what's called virtual counseling. That's going to be for children through the Texas Children's Hospital. And those individuals will be there as well to tell you how to sign up. And they do it virtually, like through an internet site. So they do it through a website. If not, they will have actually set up computers around the county for those people to go and do it if they need it, do it during the day. So one of our schools, I think two schools as of right now, are approved as Vider ISD and Little Cypress. They're actually going to be set up there to help with the children with the computers, and each counselor is going to be able to access that and help the children. So if you have any questions, feel free to call me on that. But they will be there as well, setting up a booth to give out information to help with counseling services. So just want to kind of get y'all aware we're starting off the new year right. Orange County will also be having our first unmet needs January 10th. Just want to let everybody be aware that if you have a church or organization that has funds that are wanting to donate, this is a table to come and sit. These cases are being case managed. They've already been managed to where you know that they're not going to have duplication of benefits. So these funds will be put towards those individuals that they'll be brought to that table. So January 10th at the Expo Center at 1 o'clock on a Thursday. All right.
Hold on.
Do you have any questions?
Oh, yeah,
question. Okay.
Well, this one's not, it's not that, but with regards to the GLO program,
yep.
We still got a lot of interest there.
We still have a lot of interest. I wasn't at work last week, so I'm not sure what the attendance was there, but I don't have the numbers as far as how many, but I think the last count was like around 400 or 500 Orange that actually have applied for the HAP program. But it's tomorrow we're actually going to have disaster case managers come in and be trained from the HAP, so that way disaster case managers will are kind of be aware if they have a client or a survivor that is can and is eligible, they're going to encourage them and help them apply. So this is for them to get trained and have any questions they have. But so far it's been a success. We've had, it's a continuous study since it's been opened. But also, you know, if people from Orange can't make it Tuesday through Thursday from 9 to 4, they're open at the regional office, Beaumont office, from 9 to 6, Monday through Saturday as
at
well.
505 Orleans.
505 Orleans Street in Beaumont. It's in downtown.
Are they back on the regular schedule now, Tuesday through Thursday, starting, I guess, this week?
Yeah, starting. Yeah, they're open.
And Saturday, today. Right.
Well, our satellite office is only open Tuesday through Thursday. But the regional office in Beaumont, which is 505 Orleans, is open from 9 to 6 Monday through Saturday.
I appreciate that.
All right. All right. Anything else?
I just have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
And maybe this was answered right there, but the outreach event and this with the 17,000 from the FEMA, about how many people do we have in Orange County that is still coming and asking for money, needing more money?
Well, I mean, there's several. We have, like, we have three disaster case manager agencies here, and mm-hmm. each one of them has a caseload. So, for instance, I'll just give you an example. Family Endeavors has 21 caseworkers that have been signed from the state to do Orange County. Each caseworker can only have 35 cases per caseworker. So they are pretty much, right now they're understaffed. They have 13, but all 13 of them are full.
And they have 35?
They have 35 cases. And so
these people still have no home. They have nothing. Where are they living now?
So some of them are still in FEMA, FEMA MHUs, mobile home units, or the trailers, or they're with family members.
Okay. What do you know? What area is the highest?
I mean, it's, if I had to guess, and which I don't know, it's probably in the north part of Orange and in Vidor area. Rose City, Pine Forest was hit the hardest, as far as 100% of their community, and that area. But you know, it's probably Vidor area and then Mauriceville, north of Orange.
Okay.
So, and the last numbers we had, and correct me, Joel, if I'm wrong, we had approximately a little over 300. Over in still in FEMA trailers. Don't have that exact number. It's like 350, but I think that was several weeks ago, so that could vary. So the need's there.
Yes.
I mean, we still have the need, and so basically, hopefully, the unmet needs we've been having, the case managers come and bring cases, so hopefully that's all going to start ramping up good in the year, and we'll start seeing some good things happen.
Okay, so, thank you.
You're welcome. Nope. All right.
Thank you,
Good morning. I just want to make an announcement. We have set up an appointment with the Texas Association of Counties as of October 1st, just to give y'all kind of a brief synopsis of what's happened. We have gone through a change with our pharmacy benefit manager for our employees. We go for Caremark, and now we're with Navitus. In this change, there's been lots of changes of the preferred drug list. Some drugs have moved different tiers that some people have taken most of their lives. And so there's been lots of questions from the employees. The judge and some employees and myself have gotten on a conference call, and we feel that the best way to kind of help with the questions and the changes is to bring in the Texas Association of County Representatives. They're going to bring a Navitus representative. We're going to do a general presentation here in the courtroom at 9 on January 17th. And I would like for all the department heads to push this notice down to their employees and allow some of them that have these issues to come to that general discussion. But we're also going to have private one-on-one meetings that afternoon for employees to sit down privately with a representative because of HIPAA laws. That way, if they have specific issues with specific medications, they're able to discuss it a little more freely. Sent out an info email on the system, and we're also going to put it on our HR Facebook page. So we're just asking that employees that have the issues and want to meet with these representatives to contact our office by January 11th so we can have a schedule and hopefully be semi-organized when that happens. But, We're trying, and we hopefully this will help with some of the confusion and the questions that we all have.
Is that info going out today?
It's already gone out before court.
Okay. So that's on January 11th.
The 11th is the deadline to call our office. The 17th will be the presentation.
Okay.
How are they going?
Well, just real quick, if that went out already, then I want to remind, especially Clark and Sheriff Merritt, you have some people that work for you, if any other department heads do as well, that do not have routine access to email. Make sure that they're aware of it. Give them the opportunity to take a look at it. So if they have an issue, Lori brought to my attention, there's several employees that don't routinely have access to email, so make sure they get that.
And again, we have a private Facebook page for employees called Orange County, Texas Human Resources. Don't quote me on that one. But if you call me when I get back to my office, I'll look at it. But I will for sure message both of y'all. I know both of you have Facebook accounts, and we try to put it out for those employees that don't have email, county email. I know that some of them have that Facebook ability, so we also put it on our private Facebook page, too, for employees.
It's really important for them to understand how many people they're going to be needing to talk to that day.
Right.
So they know how long they need to be here.
We're going to set up 15-minute sessions, but...
So try to get them to respond to this email or send a list. You don't have to get detailed about anything medical. Just, hey, this person needs to talk to them. They got an issue. At least that much.
Well, and there is a change, and the employees need to realize there is a change. It's not going to go back to the way it was, and there are some ways to appeal it. And we've had some employees appeal, and it's worked. And then we've had some that had to appeal it twice, and it has not worked. So... those are the employees that we really want to catch that are having issues that have appealed a couple of times and need to sit down one-on-one.
Thank you.
No, I was just going to say, I know they're going to do the briefing in here. Are they also going to do the meetings in this room also?
Are they going to kind of see how it goes? We always rely depending on how many representatives they bring, we'll separate them and make sure that they have the privacy that they need.
Okay.
Commissioners, to reiterate what Michelle had talked about, there's roughly a little over 300 of those temporary housing units, and the GLO will begin charging rent on those in February, the ones that are still left out there. We've gotten some concerned phone calls about that as of recent, but it's the GLO's program. An update on the weather or the flooding that's possible or maybe not. The Neches River right now at the saltwater barrier is at 5.06. It looks like at this point it's going to peak at 5.2. The moderate flood stage is at 6, so they're probably going to get some. They probably already are getting some on the northwest portion of the county, some flooding up there, minor flooding. Those folks are pretty used to that. Sabine River at Orange is at 2.33. Minor flood stage is at 4 feet. They're not predicting that to be an issue. Sabine at Deweyville is currently at 25.29, and minor flood stage is occurring now, and they expect it to peak at 26.4. Moderate flood stage up there is at 26. Currently, they're expecting, we're under flash flood watch. We're expecting 2 to 5 inches, and after speaking with Sabine River Authority, they have 11 gates now open at 2 feet. If we get to the 2 and 2.5 inch range, they can maintain that. If they get more than that, the possible 3 to 4, 5 inch range up at Toledo, they may have to open it, which could change those current predictions that we're currently under. On the $2.5 million, everybody, I'm sure, is wondering about that. We did speak with them this morning. The lead review should be completed this week. They didn't give a reason why that was delayed or pushed into this year, but it should be completed this week, and then they don't foresee any hiccups coming from that. I'm not going to say the same thing, but that is what they said earlier about the time period once it's completed. But that should be done this week, and then they should be going through the process to get it to us.
Yeah, so 2 weeks again.
But two weeks. And that is what they said. I'm just not going to say it.
Now, this is from...
I would say 3 to 4.
This is from FEMA.
This is the... Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry.
This is
the second reimbursement from the debris project. They didn't give a reason, but currently our liaison to that has left TDM and went to work for FEMA, so that could have been part of the issue. And also, I'm sure the court's all aware at this point, TDM, the Texas Division of Emergency Management, is going through a pretty good shakeup. They are no longer under the DPS, the Department of Public Safety. They will now be under Texas A&M. And Chief Kidd has been appointed to be a vice chancellor over there, and TDM is going with him. So what that's going to end up looking like in the future, we don't know at this point. Anyway. That's all I have. Any questions?
Just an addition, Clark. If I understand correctly, Precinct 3 and 4 Barnes have sand and sandbags?
Right. We keep...
With regards to the first issue, the flooding issue?
We keep a pile of sand out at those. Precinct 3 is in front of the energy plant in Ridge City on 1442. And then Precinct 4 is there by Raymond Gould Park.
Where?
So if people want sandbags, they can go by there. They have to fill them themselves. But the sand and the bags will be available.
My question is, are we going to move the sand machines that we got out at 3 and 4 so they can use those new sand machines that we have?
We're not going to, because we don't have a way to cover them, and they won't operate correctly with wet sand. Now, if it's not raining, we can't pick them up and take them out.
But
we
don't need
sand
bags often when it's not raining.
Yeah, we don't need sand bags when
it's not raining.
Yeah, we might want to get on a roof.
Clark and I are working on that to get some sort of a cover for it, pole barn, some sort of...
Maybe even an energy.
Yeah.
Turnabout you can pull around.
Yeah, actually, that catalog you gave me, I kind of like that.
Yeah, I think that's
a good... It's a much less expensive option.
Quonset-looking type things. They're much cheaper than going with metal buildings.
Okay.
Yeah, one last thing. It's my understanding from Clark, you're 4G now out at, are you all set up?
Yes, that's been working very well since they had that installed.
Is it, that's what I wanted to know. Is it working better?
Yes.
For those of you who don't know, the old data was, what, 3G out there?
I think it was.
Or was it like a whole different letter?
The amplifier for the cell phone.
2G or something.
Yeah, it could have been a U.
Couldn't get power. I mean, it couldn't get signal inside the building.
Thinking something BC, I thought, but I don't know. Yeah. Could be wrong. Yeah.
But it's all the new phone system's up, and y'all have had a chance to test that out.
It's working very
well. It really makes it, I hope, a whole lot better to communicate, especially those conference calls, and in an emergency that's going to help our communications.
Yes, sir.
Great.
Anything else? Thank you.
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Anyone else?
Commissioner? I just, like I said earlier, just want to like to welcome the new commissioners on board and look forward to the new year. I do think we got some good things ahead of us, and the further we get away from Harvey, the better things get anyway, so we're moving that direction. Hopefully we're getting more and more people back on their feet every day, and I do think that this will be a good year, and looking forward to it.
I'm just glad to be here representing Orange County, and I'm hearing already things that I'm not sure about, so don't think that I'm questioning you. If I ask you a question, I'm just trying to clarify some things just to make sure that I know what's happening. And I appreciate these good reports.
Again, thanks to the two new court members. Welcome. We're looking forward to a good run. It's going to be we got a lot of work ahead of us, and I know we can get it done. Thanks to everybody for the work that you did last year. I mean, there was a lot of folks that everybody that worked hard and put in a lot of effort to make sure that we got to where we needed to be and continue moving our county forward. But it started all over again, and so here we go with another year of opportunity and challenges. But one thing about it that I wanted to talk about today a little bit real quick is that about 3 months after I got into office, we started having issues at Tyler States in Bridge City with some flooding issues because of rain before Harvey ever hit. We started having discussions with different folks about what we could do out there, and of course then Harvey hits and brings it all to a whole new level. But I want to thank first Clark for helping draw this up and getting us a plan together so that we could have hopefully a start of a fix out there, but also to Energy for their cooperation, TxDOT, and Commissioner Trahan for helping me work with this to get this thing taken care of and at least get us a start on 1442 in front of the Tyler States. And down from there, as anybody knows that lives out that way, there's been a lot of drainage issues. They get a rain, they can't get in and out of that neighborhood, the road floods. When Energy first installed their culvert system that they had off along 1442, it was before Tyler States was there. And the addition of Tyler States and the newest subdivisions out there actually created a lot more water movement, and we saw that as a problem. And the issue then was, how do you get a fix? You know, and so as everything, most things can be fixed with money, and as we are with tight budgets. Me and Commissioner Trahan applied for a Sabine River Authority grant to cover the cost of the materials to add an additional 24 inches of culvert in front of the Energy plant for the full length of it. And like I said, that's what Clark drew up for us, and the plans are in kind work that we have to do is to provide the labor for that. They're actually going to buy the material. So I'll read the letter real quick just so we have it on record. But sent to Commissioner John Gauthier, myself, and also to Commissioner Johnny Trahan. So, dear Commissioners Gauthier and Trahan, thank you for applying for Sabine River Authority of Texas Community Assistance Program grant. The Sabine River Authority is very pleased to award $14,000 to Orange County as part of SRA's fiscal year 2019 Community Assistance Grant Program. This program is part of an economic development initiative to promote the improvement of the quality of services essential for the development of viable communities within the Sabine River Basin. The county's project to install culverts along FM 1442 to alleviate flooding issues is an initiative that SRA supports in its efforts to improve water and wastewater systems throughout the basin. SRA looks forward to working with the county in the future as we can continue to focus on increasing the economic vitality of the Sabine River Basin. To keep us better informed on the status of your project, please notify Mary Van at SRA's Authorities General Office when you have completed the project. On behalf of SRA, I applaud your efforts to improve the quality of services provided by Orange County Very best regards, David Montaigne, Executive Vice President and General Manager of Sabine River Authority. So I just want to thank everybody for that. And I have, and now that, Chris, you're actually officially back on board with us with the bond now, I can give you the check for $14,000 because they gave it to us. So I need to give this to you. But I want to thank everybody that's been involved with this. It takes a long time to get these things done sometimes when you have to work through different agencies. But everybody's been extremely cooperative in this, with from Energy to TxDOT to the Drainage District to our own Clark and his crew is trying to find a solution to help move water out of this neighborhood, which has been an issue since I got here. So thanks, everybody, for all your efforts in that, and thanks to Sabine River Authority for the grant. And thank you, Commissioner Trahan, for helping me with this project. Thank you. And, Christy, if you want to come get your check, you're more welcome to come get it. Your check.
Yeah.
Here you go. You want the letter, too, or you want it? She's already made a copy of it. Penny has. So she'd have it. All right. But anyway, like I said, I just want to say, because, you know, it does. It takes a lot of effort, and everybody works hard to try to get these things done, and they take a long time sometimes to get there. But if we stay diligent, we can get it done, and that's what we keep trying to do. So thanks, everybody involved again.
Not a surprise. Commissioner Gaudier took up my 3 minutes. No, I just look forward to the challenges we have coming. I have a lot to learn. I'm going to take more of a back road seat than y'all have seen me in my previous position for a few months. I appreciate any help, any information. I'll probably ask some dumb questions, but there we go. Thank y'all.
I tried to read as fast as I could.
You did well. Okay, we'll move on to agenda item number 2, discussion and possible action authorizing county treasurer to process payroll for pay period ending December 30th, 2018, including all supporting payroll liabilities and garnishment orders.
So moved.
Second.
3 and 4? 1?
Hey.
2?
Aye.
Judge, aye. 3?
Aye.
4?
Aye.
3, discussion and possible action regarding payment of bills approved by the county auditor as per attested listings and also specifically as follows. A, $39,656 to the Texas Association of Counties Risk Management Pool from the general fund 001101523 45 for the first quarter workers' compensation payment due January 2019. B, $21,652.83 to UTMB from the general fund 001111-54235 for contract payment due January 2019. C, $2,300 to Claybar Funeral Home from the general fund 001111-54290 for indigent funeral expenses. And D, $1,150 to Memorial Funeral Home from the general fund 001111-54290 for indigent funeral expenses.
And also for approval January 2nd, I want to just detail out some things that were not noted on the agenda because they had already been approved previously. We are paying for the express voting machines for elections, and that is $119,700. And that's why when you hear the total, that the total is so much for this week. From the general fund, $363,319.60. Road and bridge, $802.42. Mosquito control, $2,286.90. Adult probation, $3,057.77. Airport, $559.94. Other funds, $607.37. For a grand total of $370,634.07.
Well, I think I heard 802.42, yeah. But I got 802.49.
What did I say?
I think you said 42.
49.
Okay. I move to go ahead and approve the bills as listed by the auditor.
I second.
Take the motions from 1 and 3. But before we vote, real quick question for a treasurer. How far are we along as far as needing the loan amount, do you know, offhand? I hate to put you on the spot, but I didn't think about it before.
Well, after payroll and bills for this week, it's going to put us at like 1.7.
So we're still in the initial 2?
I couldn't pay it off before the first, so But the tax office did collect a pretty good deposit, which they haven't lost our portion yet. So once I get that, we'll...
I'm still very, very proud of the fact that we're staying within the two that we'd have had to take anyway. Mm-hmm. So
myself, I was just hoping I could have paid that off before January 1.
We have a...
Let me just ask a question, just because the indigent care, is that like that somebody that doesn't have a family or anything like that, do they still bury them in that cemetery down there by mosquito control?
It depends. That's why it's listed separately. We had two that were by Clay Bar Funeral Homes, mm-hmm. and then one by Memorial Funeral Home. So that they are putting them in plots from their funeral homes.
And then we reimburse them?
We reimburse them a certain amount.
Like there's no family that has ever been reached?
Correct.
What is the, this is really bad, but what is the law of donating those bodies to science? And then we wouldn't have an expense.
I know that there has been issues with they no longer cremate because we have had, there has been not us, but there mm-hmm. has been recourse back
That's
on them being cremated by family members have come up. In the future mm-hmm. and everything and have stated offense to that.
How much notice does the family, or you can't find a family?
I do not know the answer to that.
It's typically an issue that you either can't find family or mm-hmm. you can't find family that can be compelled to pay for it. The code specifically provides for duty to inter, which is burial. There's no option in the code specifically.
That's what I was wondering. Cremate.
The deceased is the indigent.
Or for donation.
Or for donation. Right. Yeah. Deceased is the indigent.
That's right.
Right.
I just was curious about that.
Anything else? Okay, we have a motion from one, second by three. One.
Yay.
Two.
Aye.
Judge aye. Three.
Aye.
Four.
Aye.
Number four. Discussion and possible action regarding the Texas Historical Commission grant, Round 10 Texas Historical Courthouse Preservation Program. Orange County has until January 31st, 2019 to either accept or reject the grant. The proposed grant is for the Marble Restoration Project. Counselor, you want to give us some background here?
Sure. This was originally raised in summer of 2018. Commissioner Burton brought this. I believe the Texas Historical Commission gentleman, whose name I do not recall, came and gave a presentation. This is a program where the Texas Historical Commission was willing to give us a grant, I want to say around $175,000, but there was a perpetual easement attached as a string to that money. So we held off until I could take a real close look at that easement. I then presented a memorandum to the court addressing my concerns. Commissioner Burton sent that memorandum to the Texas Historical Commission and got their response basically to each of the concerns that I had. And a copy of their response, which is really just my memo with an added box. The whole court got it previously, but the two new commissioners, I believe you have it on your desk. I don't know if you've had a chance to look at it or not. Basically confirming the concerns that I have, and it just kind of sat after that. So that's where we are now, with a deadline to determine whether or not we are, as a county, are going to accept that grant and sign off on that easement or pass on it.
And further background from the financial point of view was originally the amount that was estimated for the repair was somewhere in the neighborhood of $350,000. Texas Historical Commission was offering a grant of 50%, which is what their grant's going to be for any emergency repair. This is what falls under emergency repair. Any repairs that they do, an easement is part of the process. Since then, PERC has contacted through a couple of different companies, somebody that has come out, LaBeach Architectural. They have given us a new estimate. It is roughly half of the $350,000. Again, it's not set in stone, no pun intended, or marble.
Or marble.
Although that's not just an estimate. We have actually entered into an agreement with them.
No, we've entered into an agreement for them to do the detailed bid. But until we get bids from the contractors, we don't have the total amount.
Right.
But the estimate is somewhere in the neighborhood of half of that. Now, I will tell you this, after speaking with counselor and speaking with the folks from the Texas Historical Commission, they even said in court, I believe this is a quote, this may or may not be something for you. One of the things that concerns me, and I mentioned this to Kurt earlier today, and I've said it before in this court, if our courthouse was now a museum and we had a new building that we were actually operating out of, I don't think I would have a problem. The Texas Historical Commission is a good group. They perform a good service. However, being that this is our courthouse and we don't have the wherewithal to make it back into a museum-quality building that's still serviced as a courthouse, I think the easement is very rigid and very overreaching. If we enter into this easement, up to this point, the only requirement we have is reporting what we do. I don't believe that the Texas Historical Commission, from any legal precedent, has veto power over what we decide to do with our courthouse, for the most part. If we enter into the easement, they most certainly do. And therefore, anything that we go to do, we're going to have to be historically accurate if they choose to enforce that, which, for the most part, that's what they do. That's what their job is. I think that we probably should seriously consider, before we enter into that contract, enter into that easement, I think it might be best for us to keep our options open in the future. I think it might be more cost-effective in the future. We have other repairs we have to do on that building. Kurt could probably detail those better than I could. That can get really expensive if we have to start being historically accurate.
The easement was rather far-reaching, and I still don't see the need in that easement as they presented it, except to control the future.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I agree with you.
Do you remember, Kurt, I'm sorry, about how much, and I know that they have a firm price on their part, LaBeach, but what their estimate was on the actual labor? I think the total ended up being around $175,000, somewhere in that neighborhood.
On the paperwork that Donald Beach meant?
Yes, sir. Just help me with my numbers here.
Yeah, and then just let the court know on the
hurricane-related damages done inside the courthouse that hasn't even been completed, as far as third floor, second floor, and first floor, where they had issues on the north wall, the south wall, and all that. We received a little over $750,000 from the insurance company for repairs. Those repairs have not been taken place yet. Where we're going to do all these repairs after all the outer perimeter buildings were done, and the repairs inside the courthouse, where we're going to take it by department by department to notify the district judges, so forth, and move forward with the repairs inside the offices. And that was going to be a very time-consuming process because of courts and stuff like that, to be able to keep displaced people out of their office and all that. And of course, the front of the courthouse, what the judge is referring to as far as all the marble and all that, the first estimates that were reported was what you mentioned, about $350,000. But all the paperwork from Don LaBeach and all that, and actual work that's going to get done, I feel as though that you're 100% correct as far as pricing. The price, I think, is going to be a lot less, because I don't really think they're going to find as much panels loose as first reported, and then therefore it's going to be, I think, it's going to be a little bit more savings towards us.
I talked to somebody about that, and they said that if the marble is cracked, it can be repaired. But they said, and I'm just asking you to see if I was given correct information. They said the screws that the marble had been put in whenever the courthouse was built, that many years ago, That is all. They've rusted because they weren't made out of stainless steel or whatever that we do now.
Well,
is
most
that
of the,
true?
No, not. It's not. The parts that you can actually physically see what supports the marble, mm-hmm. all the screws and bolts and all are still there. They're
not rusted.
No, ma'am. They might have film rusted, but they're not rusted.
They're not
where
rusted through.
It's a safety issue. No, ma'am.
Okay.
Most of the marble on the front, which I found a whole bunch of blueprints that we sent to Labicious firm in Beaumont. Mm-hmm. They scanned all the blueprints, and we hope to get a digital copy of this. And hopefully some of these detailed prints that we didn't know that we had until I found them, I didn't go through all of them, but hopefully they found all some more information on how the marble was attached. Because at this point, we never did find out exactly how the marble was attached to the facing of the building. We do know how it's attached to the underneath of the very top on third floor. We can see that. But the front was probably done by with a stucco or so, and we're not 100% sure, but the reports that he will give us on detailed reports on how it's going to be repaired should show that in our report when we get it. But
so it was just
hopefully
kind of
it was
stuck
put
there.
Yes, ma'am. But we not the very top. When you like, if you're on third floor looking up, there's some marble panels up there. Those are all got bolts and nuts, and
okay.
you can see
okay.
the bolts and nuts from the attic.
Okay.
The facial panels you cannot see.
Facial.
And we felt as though that they were just done by a stucco back in 1936, but the detailed blueprints that Don got, hopefully he got the information that he needed from that, and that some of that information that he got off the blueprints will help as far as the cost.
Do we have any type of time frame?
At this time,
yes.
February to March, hopefully that we'd be able to start something on the front of the courthouse, depending on weather.
Yeah.
We don't want another Christmas
where no.
we have to decorate scaffolds.
Man, it's a don't have no place to have Santa Claus.
No, it did not, Johnny.
It was pretty.
Santa did look cool hanging out with your scaffold.
That's everybody's difference of opinion.
Three years running, man. Santa Claus is hanging.
Well, right. I don't want Easter eggs hanging off of it.
True that.
Back to the agenda item at hand. Our decision here today is whether or not we want to enter into an agreement and accept the proposed grant from the Historical Commission, or whether we want to take this on our own and avoid the easement and move forward. The point I was merely making with this was, as far as the out-of-pocket expense with the new information we have, we're probably looking at not spending any more than we were going to spend before, somewhere in that neighborhood. For the repairs, and we can do it without having the easement. My recommendation and my motion would be to, and as much as I appreciate, and for the record, I appreciate their work with us, the Historical Commission, but to reject the grant at this time and to move forward on our own with the repair and restoration of the marble of the front of the courthouse.
I'm not sure.
Unless you need me to word that differently.
And I just want to say I agree with that. First, I think when we first saw the grant, just for the sake of moving forward mm-hmm. with this thing, it seemed pretty appealing. But thanks to your efforts, Kurt, and finding someone else to give us a better, in my opinion, a better deal and a better program that doesn't restrict us in the future, I agree with you, Judge, that that's probably what we should do. So I will second that motion.
Any other discussion?
Kim, at some point, could we reapply? Once we settle all the easement and get going, could we reapply for it?
I think this is an emergency grant.
I was not involved in any way in the grant application process. I didn't really know anything about it until the easement was presented to me for review. So I have no idea what the parameters of the grant would be. I can't answer
if
that.
If we were to repair the marble on the front of the courthouse, we would no longer be eligible for an emergency grant for the marble. As far as for the future, any kind of grant with the Historical Commission, obviously you can always reapply. Again, my caution to the court and to the citizens would be, if it's a functioning, working building, be prepared. Major changes may have to be made down the road if you enter into that easement to keep it historically accurate.
So major repairs that we would have to pay for.
Well, again, they do grants. We would have to pay for our portion of the grant. Mm-hmm. I can't guarantee that we would be approved, nor can I guarantee what our portion would be. But we would have to pay our part. I don't know the Texas Historical Commission, except for Texas historical sites, I don't know if they have any grants that are at 100%. So I'm pretty sure we all have to pay a portion.
Yeah.
I think somebody
They didn't indicate agreed. They'd be willing to move on that easement requirement.
No. Okay.
They were pretty clear they were sticking to their guns.
That's all I really need to know there.
They generally won't move, and I appreciate Denise giving us this information. I had time to look over it. I have a little experience with the historical issues like the library downtown Beaumont. I personally worked on that. Their fingers reach out far. If we can accomplish this without tying that together, I think it's best, because you're also going to have an ongoing cost of historical insurance, which, from my understanding, is significantly more than your regular insurance, and that never ends. Anything that goes wrong with that building in the future, you will have to repair back to original levels. Sometimes those costs get pretty astronomical. At the library downtown Beaumont, we actually even had to put the ropes back in the windows, even though it was non-functional.
Oh, okay.
But you have to restore to original, and that cost, to get somebody that does that kind of work that they did in the 1930s, mm-hmm. gets substantial.
Well, I want to maintain the historical integrity of the courthouse as much as we can, but I don't want to be constrained by the Texas Historical Commission.
Well, as we all know, I want the courthouse repaired, but I can understand what you're saying, Denise, that, you know, when I read this, it gives me a different perspective on the point of using their money versus us. But I do want, this is the county seat of our county, and it is a joke. And I want it, I definitely, it needs to be repaired as soon as we possibly can.
Any other discussion? Got a motion from myself, seconded by three. One.
Eight.
Two.
Aye.
Judge, aye. Three.
Aye.
Four.
Aye.
And as we already addressed number five, we'll move on to number six. Discussion and possible action authorizing county judge to sign the change order request between Orange County and SADA Systems to cancel Google Cloud Directory Sync and G Suite Password Sync from the statement of work and adding them as credits to be used in the future. Please tell me those will be credits used for the future.
Yes.
Bless you.
good afternoon or good morning, Judge and Commissioners. Just to bring the two new commissioners up to speed, we decided back in, I guess it was November, to change our email system to Google instead of what we were using, which was iSWARP. So this is just part of the process of getting that taken care of. These two, the Google Cloud Directory Sync and the Password Sync, are involve Active Directory on the network, and we do not have everybody on the county switched to Active Directory on the domain yet. Once we do this, it'll allow us to do updates from the office instead of having to go to each individual PC and do it like we're doing it now. So it'll save us quite a bit of time, which is one reason why we're trying to get everything changed over. It's just a lot of computers that we're having to touch to get it changed over. So in order to get the email process moving along quicker, we opted to take this out of the statement of work for right now, and then they allowed us to give us a credit of that, and so we have until June of, I believe it's 2019, it says, to get that going and then and get those services back in the mix. But we won't have to pay for it because we'll already have the credit. Yeah, it's just we've already paid for it, but we will have already paid for it. It's just a credit, and then we won't have to pay for it again, basically.
Is this anything that's going to affect how the systems work, their speed, their reliability, most importantly, their security?
The Active Directory? I mean, it could, yeah. I mean, we can do more security things. As far as on each computer, you can do different I just lost the word I was trying to think of. On each, like, you can set up different things on each computer that
different
would be
protections.
Yeah.
Will it be any less secure than our current IceWarp system, which I think has nothing?
No. I mean, it's only going to get better, the things that we add. So.
So my understanding is we got 6 months to do this, and we fully expect we can accomplish that within the 6 months.
Yes, we probably have, because, like, the financial people, anybody that uses the Tyler Financial, such as HR, auditors, purchasing, and treasurers, is already on the domain and has been on the domain. So we have a lot of users that are already on it. It's just getting all the other users added to it. So we probably, I would say we're maybe 50 to 60% on now, and that's our goal for this month and the coming months, is to get everybody else on.
So basically they're just holding the $4,000-some-odd, and once we get online, then it'll go towards that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, sir. So we just need permission to sign the change order, basically.
So moved.
Second.
One and four. One.
Okay.
Two.
Aye.
Judge, aye. Three.
Aye.
Four.
Aye.
Thank you.
All right. And now to number seven, discussion possible action regarding adjourning Commissioner's Court meeting.
Motion.
Second.
Four. Three. One.
Aye.
Two.
Aye.
Judge, aye. Three.
Aye.
Four.
Aye.
We are adjourned at 10:57.